This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Skytook, Oklahoma. I want to talk about fear being a spirit. And as a spirit, and especially Satan and his sending forth spirits in this age, it says at the end of the 12th verse of Revelation chapter 12, the devil is come down unto you having great wrath because he knows he has but a short time. Back up a verse. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I heard Brother Hagin say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. I found out about drawing bloodlines. And I found out, working for Kenneth E. Hagin and some of the old-timers, the power of the blood. And so that's what... Now, I want to show you how mean the devil is. And it's not just little children. But... I'm telling you, it says in Philippians 1:28, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. There were four athletic boys, college. And I'm telling you, they were terrified. Tell the story, Chip.
Well, we were in college, and there was four of us, and two were born again, but backslidden, and two not born again. And we were not living, you know, any way to glorify God. We were, and so, different, and it was about that time where a movie came out, which we went and saw, and,
your college students.
Exorcist, I think it was.
You went to see that.
Yeah. And so fear enters
yes.
in. Yes. And all of a sudden, things started moving around in our house.
You rented a mobile home not to live in the dorm.
Now, in the natural, really, we all thought we were pretty macho and tough and not afraid of anything, you know. And so, like a window would be open or something, or a book would fall off the shelf, or the blender or the hairdryer would just start. And, you know, we'd all just play it off. And then one night it happened. I was in the back room. I remember I was studying for a test, and I heard the front door just slam like some, you know, in a trailer.
Shakes everything.
And it's like if somebody just did it as hard as they could. So I thought there's trouble, and I get up and I get out. And when I walk down the hall, a door in front of me slams open and shuts, and nobody went in it. And that door was Conley's door. And so... when it did that, I looked up and I saw somebody in the living room, and it was Matt, another roommate of mine. And I said, "Do you see that?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he said it happened to the front door too, because Matt was sleeping in the living room. And so we're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, Conley's door, the room where it did that before, opens and slams again. And after it did that, Matt and I are standing by each other, and a spirit, a black spirit, just kind of wrapped around him and I, just kind of went around us, and then shot through the door, and it went through the door, and it slammed the door. It didn't have to open the door. I asked you later, and you said, "Did it scare you?" And I said, "Yeah," and it said, "Well, it did its job." So Matt and I go back, and we go to my room, and we lock the door and put a chair underneath it and everything else. And here we are, supposed to be tough guys.
Didn't you get in the same bed?
We got in the same bed as a single bed, and we put our arms around each other.
College athletes.
And we promised each other, do not tell anybody this. Not just that we're sleeping in the same bed and we're scared, you know, for our lives, but what we saw, they'll think we're crazy. So we wake up that morning, and I remember telling him, I said, "Matt, I had the craziest dream last night." And he goes, "Was it about door slamming and all of that?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "It wasn't a dream." And I go, "Oh, no, it really happened." So we get up, we're getting ready, and we say, "Don't tell the other roommates." So we're getting ready, and we're getting ready to go. We're all going to drive the same car to the college. And Conley, the one that went through his door, the one we saw, he comes up to Matt and I, and he says, with tears in his eyes, pretty much scared to death, he said, "Something came in my room last night." And Matt and I go, "Oh, no, it's even more real." We didn't want it to be more real. We want to stop it. And he said, "It was like a black spirit. It was just over my bed." And he said, "I couldn't move. It had the power. I didn't have the power."
He described it as carrying a scythe, like you see.
Like death. He said, "All I knew is either I was going to die or somebody's going to die."
Yeah, you know how those pictures of the death, you know, got the scythe and got a hood. The Grim Reaper.
And he said, "I tried to yell God. I tried to yell Jesus." And he said, "I even tried to yell your mom's name." And he was the other one who was backsliding. So, and Mom, I told later that to Mom, and she said, "Hey, I made the top three. Yay." But anyway, so as we're all talking about this, a book flies across the room as we're sitting there. You don't think the devil knew this? So we're sitting there, and that happens, and we're done. And we turn from macho college, not afraid of anything, to junior high girls in an instant. Nothing wrong with junior high girls, but when you're a college age male, that's not a good comparison when it comes to courage. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we went out of that room and we ran, and it's exactly 2 miles. I'm telling you, it's 2 miles to Joe's Red Barn. That was the name of that little store.
Because your trailer was in the country.
Yeah, and it was on this country road, and it's 2 miles. And I'm telling you right now, people, if you want to know the fastest recorded 2 mile run in the history of the world, it's not the Olympics. You can look. Now, this may not be recorded in the, you know, in the
record books,
but it is in heaven. That was the fastest 2 mile run. So we're screaming as loud as we can.
Cuz you don't have cell phones. You don't even have a phone in your trailer.
No. And we get as far away as that place as we can, and we scrounge up quarter or 50 cents to call you from a payphone booth that had the wire connects, you know how that that connects that phone. And Mom says, "Give me a break. Are you kidding me?"
Well, she called, they call, you know, and it's over. Early in the morning, and suddenly I hear these voices. "Oh, Mrs. Bria, Mom." It sounds like little young girls. I didn't figure out who this is. And I said, "Finally, I figured out Chip." And then you told me.
Yeah, and we said, "Mom, there's these devils and blah blah blah, and books and blenders and this and a black spirit." And it went to the door. Oh! And she goes, "Give me a break. Those are a bunch of low level devils.
They're just low level devils, and they're just here to try to scare you. They're not even very. They're just but throwing books and doing stuff like this. This is low level devils. It's easy to get rid of them."
So she said, "Are you all there?" "Yes." "Hang down the phone. Let it drop. You four get on your knees and repent. You other two, ask Jesus into your life." We all just sitting here. And then you said,
and
what?
Then
get
I
some
said,
oil.
"Have you got any oil in your house?" And I don't know.
We had to buy it there.
We had to buy some there. And so I said, "Here's what you do. You go back home and you take that oil and you anoint all the doors and windows. And you, devils don't need doors and windows to go out of. But you're going to let that oil stand for the Holy Spirit. And you're going to let that oil stand for the blood of Jesus. And you're going to go to every entrance. And you're going to anoint it. And you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. No devil's coming in this door." And you do it over every entrance, every window. And then they did it. They went back home and they did it. And they never had any more trouble with demon spirits. And the next Sunday, they were all in church. But you see, they had given a place to the devil. Now, my son, Terry, he had an experience. Terry isn't here today. And I'm going to let Shelley read about that experience that Terry had with the blood of Jesus. That's in my book. This experience that Chip had and that Terry had are in my book, The Blood and the Glory. And so I want Shelley to tell about Terry. Shelley, start right there, our older son Terry, and read that.
Okay.
Now, Chip's the younger son, then we got an older son. Our older son, Terry, had a similar incident his senior year at Panhandle State University in far western Oklahoma. Terry and his friends were cowboys. And Terry had just rented a bedroom 2 days before from some other students to cut down on expenses. That night, there had been a lot of alcohol, girls, and music, and Terry, who was not partying, just went to bed. About an hour later, his room got very cold and dark. Slowly, his twin bed with him in it rose about 3 feet off the ground. These are his words as he described it to me for this book. Quote, I knew what it was, and I knew if I could just say Jesus, it would quit. But I felt literally paralyzed. I could have said anything but Jesus. It was like that part of my brain that could say Jesus was gone. But I kept trying. And when I did get it out, the bed slowly came down. Terry told a Christian professor he knew from the church he attended in Guymon. The teacher came in with them and they applied the blood of Jesus over the mobile home. In the 6 months he had left to live there until graduation, nothing like that happened again. In teaching on the power in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, I have told this incident and have asked how many have had a similar experience. And it seems to be rather common. But it is always the case, no matter what the demonic deception, that one can utter that name and devils have to flee, as it is written in Mark 16:7 and James 4:7. So, while writing this book at home, Mom, this is continuing to quoting from your book. While writing this book at home tonight, I telephoned both sons to get details of the accounts I've included.
And Chip told his earlier.
Right. And both made similar statements to this effect. And it was amazingly easy to stop the demon activity.
Easy.
And since seeing how easy it was, demons have not been able to so frighten them. Both my sons told me how they had used the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus with their mouths morning and night over their families. And then you have recalled a lot of other incidents.
Right. Now, here's the point of it. Satan is coming out, just like it says in the 12th chapter and the 12th verse of Revelation, with great wrath. Right. He sees his time is short. It's more than ever now.
The pressure's on him.
The pressure is on. And even in the movies with all the violence and all the things and all the, even the commercials to scare you, he's trying to get fear into people. And we can stop it with the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
We'll talk more about this tomorrow. We trust you have enjoyed this program and these weeks on fear. We recognize that it's almost like one of our presidents said, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. To help you, we have two books we want you to have. The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan and The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. McMillan said in the foreword to his books that this age that we're in right now is knowing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer, and that is the prayer of the authority of the believer. The bloodline, how to draw them. We're offering two books, The Authority of the Believer by John McMillan and The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. I want you to have these books, so much so that we're offering them to you as a radio package for $10 plus shipping. Just write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, or go online to billybrim.org or order 1-800-972-3447.